Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here in another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we're going to switch gears today. We're going to start talking about leadership. You know, as we read the Bible, we understand that Jesus was constantly talking about leadership and some of the do's and don'ts. And I really, really appreciate getting it right out of the Bible. Because let's face it, if we go to the library or we go to a bookstore and you want to get books on leadership or self-help, there's just row after row after row. Now, let's be honest. If they were good, we'd only need one of them, right? If they were perfect and they told us everything we needed to know, we'd only need one book. Why would we need rows and rows and rows of self-help books? Well, that self-help book is really the Bible. If you think about it long enough and hard enough and find out where these people got their inspiration or their information, it comes from the Bible. So I like to get it firsthand. What does Jesus say about leadership? And how does it evolve? And what makes people click? And why are some so happy and some so miserable? Why are some so rich and some so poor? What makes the difference? And how does it happen? Well, the Bible will answer those questions for you if you simply read it. And that's what I'm going to talk about. Some of those issues, and even pinpoint places in the Bible where you can find this information firsthand yourself. You don't have to pay attention to me. However, if they want to take notes, you get a pencil and paper. I'll give you scripture as we go through some of these issues. I love to see people succeed with their lives. And so does God, the creator of all these things. As an artist treasures his painting, and the master craftsman, the quality of the violin that he created, so our maker cherishes the dreams, the goals, the excellence of life, and the happiness that you and I are to enjoy. Through research, diligently for principles in successful living, I was suddenly made aware of these two forces. The person of Jesus and the principles he set in motion. The combined power of these two influences I call the way of the winner. I like that. What are winners? Winners are simply ex-losers who got mad. They get tired of failure. The day you get angry at your failures is the day you start winning. You see, winning doesn't start around you. It begins inside you. Happiness begins between your ears. Your mind is the drawing room for tomorrow's circumstances. What happens in your mind will happen in time. Mind management is the first priority for the overcomer. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think of these. I just read that from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You see, the system I found in the Bible worked. It has multiplied many joys by increasing my ability to succeed 1,000 times over. The leadership secrets of Jesus will follow and contain this wisdom for living in a circle today on your calendar, and to declare this is the day. Declare that the happiest and the most productive day of your life are beginning today. Never, never, never quit. You may be minutes from your miracle. What do you think, David? Those kind of thoughts are what we're going to be talking about. In other words, how to become dynamic and how to be a leader, and or what are some of the rules? And the Bible gives us those answers.
I love what you've just given us. My, there's a lot in there, and it's good for people who are tuned our way today and say, what are these guys all about?
Yeah.
Two old men coming up with us with their kind of heart. And I love that. That's we can fit into that.
Yes, we do.
Everybody has problems. Your success and happiness in life, you won't believe this, it depends on your willingness to help somebody solve their problems. Isn't that true?
Yes, it is.
You get some people to call you on the phone and say, man, I got a problem. If you want to help yourself, learn how to say, yeah, give me the opportunity. Tell me what's wrong. Successful people are simply problem solvers. A successful attorney, he solves legal problems. A doctor, well, he solves physical problems. You take your car to the automobile mechanic because he solves car problems. We've all been through these. Jesus, he was the problem solver. Thousands and thousands of people that came to hear him, they were burdened with guilt because of their sins. Jesus offered forgiveness. Wow, that must have been something amazing when all these people filled the hillsides and Jesus was talking to them and offering them forgiveness. And they said, man, we're starved spiritually. And he said, don't worry about that. I am the bread of life. John's Gospel in chapter 6 brings us that great report. Hundreds had bodies riddled with sickness and disease, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Many were possessed with evil spirits, and Jesus set them free. Jesus had something others needed. He solved their problems. That's why thousands sat for days as he taught them concerning the laws of God and how to have extraordinary relationships with other people. His products were boldly declared eternal life. He declared joy. He declared inner peace. He declared forgiveness, healing, and health. And it goes on and on and on. Take an inventory of yourself. What do you have to offer someone? What do you enjoy doing? What would you attempt to do if you knew it was impossible to fail? Wouldn't that be something? Give you? If I said, hey, take an inventory of yourself and maybe you can help me with my problem.
Yes.
You think that?
Yes.
We're capable of that, aren't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like that last line you used. What'd you say? What would you attempt to do if you knew it was impossible to fail? Wow, that's a very dynamic statement to make, and I believe that if every person could answer that question openly and honestly and clearly, they would be an overwhelming success in the making. You see, you are not an accident. God planned your birth. And what's it say in Jeremiah? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee. Remember that line? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It's in their Bible. It says all of those things right there for us. Everything God makes is a solution to a problem. Every person God created is a solution to a problem. God wanted a love relationship, so he created Adam. Adam was lonely, so he created Eve. This is the golden thread that links creation. Think of your contribution to another as an assignment from God. A lawyer is assigned to his client. A wife is assigned to her husband. Parents are assigned to their children. Employees are assigned to their boss. Your assignment is always to a person or a people. And the Bible tells us that. For example, Moses was assigned to the Israelites. Aaron was assigned to Moses. Your assignment will always solve a problem. Your life is a solution to someone in trouble. Find those who need you and what you have to offer. Build your life around that contribution. Jesus did. You see, Jesus was a problem solver. This is one of his leadership secrets. Those are powerful words, David. What do you think about that?
Well, doubt is really deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever walked into a room and felt anger in the atmosphere? Have you ever walked into a room and felt love and energy and excitement? Of course, your thoughts have presence. They are like currents moving through the air. Those thoughts are capable of drawing people towards you, and the other way is that you drive them away from you. Your attitude is always sensed. You will never be successful in any business unless you really believe in that business. You must believe in the product you are promoting. Your doubts will eventually surface. You got to believe in WPFG. You shouldn't be here. If you don't believe in everything that we're doing 24 hours a day, why are you tuned our way? There's something, your attitude is always sensed. You must believe. Look at the life of Jesus. He believed he could change people. He believed that his product would satisfy people. He said in John's Gospel, chapter 4, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give, he will never thirst again. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." What makes you believe in your product? Can you handle that kind of a question, Giff?
Yeah, what makes you believe in your product? Well, that's a very fair question to ask. It's knowledge. Knowledge of that product. Jesus had a product. It was life. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." John chapter 10, verse 10 says just that. Jesus saw the damaged products. He knew that he was their connection for repair. Nobody could take his place, and he knew it. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John chapter 10, verse 27. You see, you must take the time and make the effort to know your product. It may bore you or even seem unnecessary. You may be anxious to sell your product, or pocket the profits, or get on with your life. But success just does not happen that way. A lawyer must study the law. A doctor must keep well read on his latest journals concerning the body and new diseases and cures. A policeman has to study his weapons, the law of his community, his rights, the mindset of criminals. If he does not study this, he will not know, and he's a dead man in the streets. His life is on the line. You see, don't expect to succeed unless you are thoroughly informed about your product. Are you discouraged by your present job? Are you feeling a bit hopeless? Then I suggest you ask yourself some real soul-searching and honest questions. How much time have you spent cultivating an awareness of your business? Do you use your product? How many hours each day have you invested in becoming informed? Are you so busy trying to make a buck that you really have not developed a powerful understanding and confidence of what you are doing? You see, Jesus was very busy. He was teaching, preaching, traveling, performing miracles, and mentoring the unlearned. However, he always took time to get along with his Father and renew his understanding of his purpose, his plan, and his product. You see, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's written in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Jesus believed in his product. This was one of his leadership secrets.
Let me talk about something else, Giff. Jesus never misrepresented his product.
Yep, that's right.
People that lie to you, liars, they are exposed, and eventually they don't last. It may take weeks or even months, but the truth always surfaces. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Proverbs 28. Anyone who does business with you wants the truth, the total truth, nothing but the truth. People fear untruth and misrepresentation. Jesus had the greatest product on earth. That product was salvation. He offered the human race an opportunity to have a relationship with God. He spoke of heaven and he spoke of angels. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he never painted a distorted picture. He warned his disciples of persecution to come. What did he say, Giff? What did he tell those guys?
But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you before their synagogue. That's written in Matthew chapter 10. I like you quoting those scriptures, Dave. That tells our listeners that Jesus was truly a leader, and the answer to his styles and his abilities are written in the scriptures for us to read and understand. You see, Jesus spoke of their afflictions. Then shall they deliver up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Matthew chapter 24, you'll find that verse. You see, he spoke of loneliness. The foxes have holes and the birds have the air and they have nests, but the Son of Man, hath not where to lay his head. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 reads that way. You see, Jesus believed in preparing people for any possible situation that could happen. He was honest. His teaching was far more than pie in the sky. Let's listen to what Apostle Paul says. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice was I beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, and I have been in the deep. You know, that Paul says that. He writes that in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. This certainly does not sound like the most ideal sales talk to a group of students in the Bible school, does it? Well, Paul did not misrepresent his product either. Jesus spoke of the many people, of the good things, and the benefits of what he offered. But he also was quick to talk to them about the total picture. Then they would be prepared to face their trials. Address the benefits, focus on the advantages that your product or your business will offer to other people, but never forget that an honest relationship is worth 100 sales. Your integrity will always be remembered longer than your product. You see, Jesus was honest. Jesus never misrepresented his product. This is one of the leadership secrets of Jesus. That's a good philosophy for us to follow, David.
You're right. Yeah, I want to tell you someday, somebody needs you. Mm-hmm. Somebody in your town, your home, your church, somebody needs you. You got to go out and find them. Activate yourself. Move toward neighbors. You live in that house for 40 years and you don't know your neighbor's name, and you wonder, wow. You got to move toward the members of your own family. Get on the telephone. Go ahead, write that brief notes to that close friend. You may be shy, you may be timid, and even feel inadequate, but you will not succeed in life unless you are connected to people. Success involves people. People will enable you to succeed. In fact, they rarely do come to you. You must go to them. Why do you think there are newspaper machines on every corner and soft drink machines? Successful people are accessible. You will never possess what you are unwilling to pursue. True or false?
Yes, that's right. Well, Jesus knew that too. You will never possess what you're unwilling to pursue. That's a good line, Dave. He did not set up on a throne in the middle of each city and say, hey, this is my place. This is the only place you can see me. No, no, no. He went to the marketplace. He went to the boats of the fishermen. He went to the synagogue. He went to the homes of the people. He went everywhere. He went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. What is keeping you from reaching out towards others? Is it an inward fear or the dread that you might be rejected or turned down? Are you intimidated in some way? There is something far more important than rejection. Your dreams and goals. Successful people are reachers. They dread rejection, but they believe their goal is worth it. Dave, you did a good job of sharing the reason for that just a few moments ago. You see, Jesus left comfort. He left the presence of angels, and he left the Heavenly Father. He willingly walked into an atmosphere that was unholy and imperfect. He stepped out of a magnificent and perfect kingdom into a world that was confused, it was stained, it was deadly. But he walked into the lives of those who needed him. He went where the people were. Your dream is connected to people. Lawyers need clients. Doctors need patients. Singers need musicians. Salespeople need customers. Jesus went where the people were hurting. He went to the lame, the blind, the poor, the wealthy. He went to all of them. He talked to the learned, the ignorant, the hungry, the thirsty. You know, start your own people list today. There are two kinds of people in your life. One, those who already know that you have something they need. Or two, those who do not yet know that you have something they need. Your people list may include your relatives, your neighbors, your newspaper carrier, your gardeners, your dentist, your manicurist, your hairdresser, landlord, doctor, lawyer, anybody you bump into. There is a law of relationship that says every person is merely four people away from another human on earth. Think of it. This simply means that you know Bill, who knows Judy, who knows Charles, who knows anyone else you'd ever want to know. You are already networked with the entire world. You simply have to get out of your house, get out of your car, go to the door, reach for your telephone. Success always begins somewhere. Success always begins at some moment. Success always begins with someone. You must go where the people are. Jesus did. Jesus went where the people were. This was one of his leadership secrets. Those are powerful thoughts that the Bible makes it clear to us, Dave. Do you have any thoughts on that subject that we haven't already shared?
Well,
I think we've made it pretty clear, haven't we?
We go and we go and we go, and sometimes we get so tired. You know, sometimes we can't keep up with life. And last year, I was sickly. I wake up every morning wondering if I could do it today or I'm not going to do it. And many days I couldn't do it. And you know, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the hospital and I got a new pacemaker.
Yeah.
And now my life is so different because I don't have up and down days.
Yes.
Everything is straight across. Fatigue, it can be costly. I can tell you something.
Yes, it can.
I remember about reading about one noble old president of the United States. He absolutely refused to make any major decisions after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. He knew that a tired mind rarely makes good decisions. Rest time is repair time. It's not a loss of productivity. It is time for renewing. It's a receiving time. It helps release your potential. You're listening today. You say, what are you guys really talking about? Jesus looked at us at every angle. He looked at us when we were doing good. He looked at us when we needed rest. And you are talking to yourself today. I can hear you. You're talking to yourself about everything we're talking about. I say, I don't have that trouble. Yeah, that's me. That's the way it is. That's why I like what we're talking about today. We get right down where people live, GIF, and have to listen.
Yes.
Or turn the dial. And if you listen, then you got two old guys with heart telling you how to make life a success.
We're going to try to help them to grow in the Lord. That's our job, Dave. Well, as you can well imagine, Dave, we could go on with these subjects because I just think this is fascinating. You started talking about rebuilding your life and how to go about doing that and following Jesus, his examples and his words. My, it's endless possibilities. But for now, we're going to have to say goodbye. We've exhausted our time. It goes by so quickly. Our listeners want more. Let's do it again tomorrow, Dave. Let's see if we can't pick it up and try to share some more of the leadership that Jesus has given to us. What do you think?
That's right.
Let's say goodbye for now.
I'll see you next time. Dave Colonna here. Bye-bye.